This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Across West Virginia, many towns and cities will host Christmas parades and other holiday festivals in December. But only one town can claim to have a historic covered bridge in the backdrop of their festivities. The town of Phillippi is hoping to brand itself as a Christmas destination with a holiday twist. Alderson Broaddus University student Malik Washington reports.
Like many locations in West Virginia, the city of Phillippi is looking towards tourism to boost the local economy. While the town is noted to be the home of the first land battle of the Civil War, Phillippi also is vying to become a Christmas destination. The genesis of this idea began with the city's mayor, Phil Bowers.
Christmas was always special here whenever I was growing up. I've lived here all my life. And then whenever you start thinking from an economic standpoint for our businesses and to attract people, we have tens of thousands of people that ride the Polar Express in Elkins, and we thought we're really not doing much to bring those people to Phillippi. We are unique. We have the covered bridge and other historical destinations, so if we can enhance that with Christmas, I think we can become a destination in the state for people to come to.
While Mayor Bowers championed the vision, the short window to make it a reality required the collaboration of numerous volunteers and several organizations.
We started out in July with a room full of dedicated people, no budget, and just a vision. And within 2 or 3 months, council and the county commission bought into the idea both and gave us a budget of about $9,000 to work with. So we're hoping that they'll continue to commit to that. With this group that we put together, it was not as hard because it was one of the first times we were able to pull the university, the city, and the county all together.
Help also came from a neighboring county, as the city of Bridgeport donated numerous lighted Christmas decorations to add to Phillippi's festive atmosphere. All was needed was a name, and Alderson Broaddus marketing professor Dion Allen provided the most likely option, a covered bridge Christmas.
Well, actually, it's something that just popped into my head, because when you think about Phillippi and you think about Barber County, the first image that really pops into your head is a covered bridge. It's the iconic landmark. A lot of our festivals and events are centered around the covered bridge. And so naturally, it was an image that came to mind whenever you're talking about a countywide Christmas celebration.
The Phillippi Covered Bridge, which predates the Civil War, is the only covered bridge on the U.S. Federal Highway, Route 250. Philip Barber High School STEM and Project Lead the Way engineering teacher Brandon Antion reiterates the importance of the bridge as the centerpiece of the celebration.
Phillippi's the bridge. I mean, that's what it is. That's what people from the outside see is the bridge, this beautiful landmark that Phillippi has. Why not draw attention to, you know, one of the most recognizable landmarks in the town?
Antion's students at Philip Barber have designed several structures that will be featured on the lawn of the Barber County Courthouse.
We're really trying to decide on, you know, what are some historical buildings, what are some landmarks in Phillippi that we could use for the courthouse. And as I was driving through town the one day, I thought, wow, man, this library is beautiful. And this is something that we could really work towards. Then one of the kids said, well, hey, let's do the covered bridge. Another one said, let's do a schoolhouse. And so there are so many buildings where we finally just broke it down into, let's do the covered bridge, let's do the library, and I do have a kid who's right now working on a church of his own design.
Our students at Philip Barber High School are also using their talents, as art teacher John Drubel explains.
So we've created these roughly 10-foot length buildings that the art students here at the high school, specifically the painting classes, are working on. So the shop classes put the buildings together, they constructed them out of wood, and the painting classes are working on them to kind of prime them and now get them textured and ready to go for display downtown.
The kickoff for Covered Bridge Christmas will be at 7 p.m. on Friday, December 1st, with the lighting of a Christmas tree on the courthouse lawn. According to Phillippi Main Street Director Tammy Stemple, the tree has some historical significance for the town.
That is a tree that was actually planted by a former mayor, Caton Hill, who has now passed on. And he planted that tree when it was about probably 3 or 4 feet tall, and I would say it's probably close to 40 or 50 feet tall now. The Christmas theme this year is Storybook Christmas. So all the businesses will decorate their windows with that theme. We also have a parking meter decorating contest. And then after the parades, they're going to have a Christmas tree lighting. Santa will be at the gazebo to visit the kids, and the Christmas craft show will be going on.
While this is the first year for Cover Bridge Christmas, Mayor Phil Bowers explains that improvements are already planned for next year.
We want to expand it to where it becomes even more attractive for people to come and see. And then we're going to look really serious next year at a synthetic ice rink so that people, whenever they're here looking at the lights, can also do some ice skating on synthetic ice. And we're hoping for buggy rides to our community next year. So we do have some plans to upgrade, and we have a great committee that's committed to staying together to make sure this happens.
A Cover Bridge Christmas kicks off Friday, December 1st. For a list of events for the 4 weekends prior to Christmas, access the Facebook page for Cover Bridge Christmas. In Philippi, I'm Malik Washington.
Thanks to the Mass Communications Department at Alderson Broaddus University for that story. We now hear the conclusion to our 8-month series, The Struggle to Stay. Today we'll hear the final chapter of Derek Acow's struggle to stay. Derek is from a coal camp town called Lynch in Harlan County, Kentucky. If you haven't caught his earlier stories, here's a quick recap. Derek says he wants to leave Eastern Kentucky to find work. A few years ago, he moved away on a college football scholarship, but then a neck injury led him to move back home. We learn that a combination of dreams, booms, busts, and racism have led Derek's ancestors and many members of Lynch's African American community to move away, generation after generation. The last time we heard from Derek, he was planning to move to California, but to do that, he needs to save up enough money. Now, more than a year after, reporter Benny Becker with the Ohio Valley Resource and WMMT began following Derek, we'll hear if Derek Acow's been able to make his plan work.
Derek first got the idea to move out west when he heard that there were jobs working on oil rigs.
The oil industry is like the coal mines down here, but the only thing that's different is that the oil rigs and stuff are like going crazy.
Derek visited California over New Year's, and once he got there, he learned about other jobs he could get in the energy industry.
The solo job in California, you start out, you know, $23 an hour. You know, that is so much money.
He also learned about job opportunities in the world of fashion.
I can get down with a modeling job down there and make as much money as a coal miner easily.
I met up with Derek in January, soon after he came back from California. I went to the house he was living in with his mom, grandma, and little brother. It was cold outside, so we sat in the living room on a big cozy couch. Derek told me that visiting California had made him even more committed to finding a way to move there.
What kind of timeline are you thinking for trying to actually make the move?
I'm gonna be leaving in the summer before June 12th. All you gotta do is just get some money, get a plane ticket, and I'm already there.
The next time I met up with Derek, the weather had warmed up, so we sat outside.
It's March 21st, 2017. We are on my front porch in Lynch, Kentucky.
At that time, he said he was still on track to move in June.
2.5 more months and I'm already out of here.
But he still hadn't saved enough money for his move out west. He was having a hard time finding work in Harlan County.
Literally just going after job, putting applications everywhere. They wouldn't pick you up anywhere.
Derek did find one way to earn a little income. He has his uncle's pair of hair clippers, and he's learned how to use them.
I got a booming business right now, cutting people's hair.
2.5 months later, I sat down again with Derek on his front porch in Lynch.
Today would be the day that I'll be going to California right now.
Derek told me he needed to find some better paying work. He'd done another big round of job applications and even gotten a new buzz cut in hopes that it would help him get hired. At one point, Derek happened to look at a picture of himself from before he cut off his hair, and he told me that just looking at it made him sad.
Man, I'm telling you, every time I see my long hair, I just miss my hair even more.
Even with short hair, Derek still couldn't find any steady work. But he stayed hopeful, and he made the most of a beautiful summer. He wasn't making much money, but he had time to spend with his family and to enjoy the natural beauty of Harlan County.
Like, all these mountains all the way around here, like, I literally been all over these mountains fishing, snake hunting. That's really what I spend most of my time at, is on Black Mountain.
The top of Black Mountain, just above Lynch, is the highest point in Kentucky. The next time I visited Derek, that's where we went.
My name is Derek A. Kell. It's Tuesday, July 11th, and we are on top of Black Mountain. And there's a memorial right here to let you know that you're 4,139 feet.
You can see pretty far into Virginia from the overlook, and most of the view is forested ridgelines. But there's one big area that dominates the view and looks more like a moonscape. It's a mountaintop removal site.
Looking over where that strip mine is at, you know, even though it killed that mountain, it's still beautiful to me.
For Derek, part of the beauty is in the possibility he sees in the big flat area that coal mining left behind.
If they put some wind fields over these mountains like that, I'm telling you, then I think business would be booming. Literally just covered that up right there with just wind or solar.
If something like that were to happen, would you consider coming back if there were suddenly all these jobs in wind and solar here?
Yeah, most definitely, yeah. And you have all that stuff right there, yeah, most definitely.
But that's not what's happening.
All the kids that I grew up with, we all leave because there's no jobs here. But without coal, the town is just going to be a ghost town.
I wonder, if you have feelings about if any of that makes it more important for people to hear your voice, or how you feel about your voice and your story fitting into all of the kinds of voices and stories that end up out there on the media.
I feel like I'm representing the people that's all around here. You know, that want to say what they're going through, but they can't say it because they have no way of saying it,
I recorded this interview in July, and by this point, Derek had given up on finding a job in Harlan County. He'd moved on to another backup plan.
Around here, there's just nothing here, so I'm just going to pack up and go to Georgia.
Derek has family and friends who've moved from Lynch to the Atlanta area. He has an aunt who offered to let him stay at her house and help him get a job nearby so that he could save the money he needs to move to California.
This week will be my last week, down here. But I'm going to be visiting like crazy, though, because I'm a really big mama's and grandma's boy. And I love my brother to death, so I can't leave him.
The next few months, Derek kept busy in Atlanta, working and saving money. I caught up with him by phone in early November, about 10 months after he started trying to save money to move out west.
Hello?
Hey, Derek?
Yes?
Hey,
how you doing?
Doing all right. How are you? How's it going?
It's been crazy, I'll tell you that.
Derek's been in Georgia for about 2 months. He's been living outside Atlanta with his aunt, working for a power company, and hanging out with Vince, the friend he's planning to move to California with. Derek tells me things had been going pretty smoothly, until this last week. That's when he learned that his boss had been pocketing some of the money he was supposed to have gotten. He quit that job, but he says he's already got leads for a new job, and he's still planning to move to California.
Oh, yeah, well, most definitely. I'm going to be leaving here pretty soon, probably in January or February. What I'm basically doing is just working to get my ticket and everything and to get a car. Even though my boss owes me money and everything, which I'm going to get, I've been saving up quite a bit of money, so I've been doing good with that.
Derek tells me the response he's gotten from people hearing his story has also helped him to feel good about how things are going.
There's been a lot of people that messaged me and talking about how much I inspired them. It's people that I don't even know, and they're telling me about their situations and stuff like that, what they want to do. It's like the people that are scared to do something message me, who are scared to go out their comfort zone.
Is there something you'd want to say in your own voice to people out there listening?
I just tell them to never give up. Never give up on your dreams, because I'm still on my dreams, and I'm not far from them. You just got to have the patience to chase your dream, because it's not always going to come to you just as quick. And like I say, always have a couple plans with you, because there's always going to be some situations that will switch up your dreams.
This concludes our Struggle to Stay series. You can listen to all of the stories from our Struggle to Stay on our website at wvpublic.com. www.oldfortlewis.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Our producer is Liz McCormick. I'm Teresa Wills.